Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome in to the Brad Sesmat Show here on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. The big guy, Brad Sesmat, off today. I am Mark Asher, your host for the next hour or so. We, as we talk about a lot of the things going on in the world of sports, always a pleasure to be called out of the bullpen. Actually, the practice squad. That's what I tell people. I'm on the practice squad. I didn't make the big roster, but I'm there. And if someone gets injured, goes down for a day or so, I can get called up. You know, the team has my rights. So you guys.
And you're going to get paid just like practice squad players.
Pretty much, which is, you know, enough to, you know, buy lunch. And that's good. And I have a lunch to buy later. So thanks, Sports360AZ.com, as I will be taking care of that later. But yeah, it's the practice squad. And, you know, I'm going to get a look and see if I, you know, perform well enough and maybe get another look down the road. So that's kind of the idea here, to bring the training camp aspect into what we're doing here on the Brad Sesmat Show. But I'm happy to be here. Always enjoy the interaction with the fans. And of course, I do want to remind everyone, we're up on Twitter. I am Mark Asher 32. Of course, Sports360AZ has their Twitter handle as well. We got a good Twitter question for you that we'll get to in just a little bit. But first, what's going on in the world of sports is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. You can stop into Santan Ford for their great variety and selection on new or certified pre-owned vehicles. It's just off the 202 and Val Vista. Santan Ford, again, where it's all about you. It's all about us right now as we talk about a lot of the stuff going on the program today. A couple guests will be joining the Brad Sesmat Show this afternoon. You know, it's funny. I was joking with the guys. I seem to fill in on Wednesdays. Like, that's like Ash Day. Like, isn't there Ash Wednesday?
Ash Wednesday.
Yeah,
wow.
It's weird. That's what we should call this, Ash Wednesday. Because every single time that I get called to come in and host the Brad Sesmat Show is on a Wednesday. I don't know if it just happens that way, which, of course, allows me on Wednesdays to talk to my old pal, Pedro Gomez from ESPN. Of course, covers Major League Baseball. We'll talk about the D-backs' recent tailspin when it had to go up against the big boys in Major League Baseball. We'll talk to Pedro about that and a few other things that are happening around the league. How about those Mets? Holy cow, they're fun to watch as they are just taking it to the NLE. So we'll talk about a lot of different things as we embark on the final month of the baseball season, and we'll find out who the, you know, contenders are. I think the National League is almost set, but there's a couple things that could happen. And then obviously there's a lot of stuff going on in the American League. So we'll get to all that with Pedro Gomez coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Also on the program today, she's in Denver for baseball. It just so happens that the football team, the Arizona Cardinals, will be playing in Denver in the fourth and final, thank goodness, preseason game of the year. The Arizona Cardinals taking on the Denver Broncos, and Fox Sports Arizona's Jody Jackson, JJ as I call her. Actually, last time I did the show, she did it with me. JJ will be joining us from Denver. We'll get her take on the Diamondbacks winning two games in Colorado against the Rockies yesterday in a doubleheader. And then, of course, more importantly, the Arizona Cardinals as well. So that's kind of what's going on the program today. But we'll start with the Arizona Cardinals and talk about the Twitter topic of the day. I like this one. Ian and I were talking about it on the way in this morning. And, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are ready to go into the 2015 season. A lot of expectations, a lot of high hopes that the Arizona Cardinals could maybe go up to San Francisco, I think it's Santa Clara to be exact, and play in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 50, Fitty, as the city of San Francisco, Santa Clara, the San Francisco 49ers will host that event. I don't think there's a lot of concern about the host team playing in the Super Bowl this year, even though that was kind of the Cardinals' mantra a little bit last year, was, hey, let's play all the way through, home field advantage. Obviously, they fell short in the postseason. But their goal is to get to the postseason and beyond under Bruce Arians. And look, this guy's done some great things. 10 games, 11 games, those are the win totals the last 2 years. I mean, that is right up there among the great coaches in the game as far as win totals are concerned the last couple of seasons. So, you know, a lot of expectations going in. The one thing I love about the Arizona Cardinals and the one thing I love about Steve Keim and Bruce Arians and the front office right now, you know, first and foremost, there's 70-some-odd guys still on this roster, and obviously that's going to have to be cut down after this weekend down to 53. the thing I love about this team is, man, when they cut some guys, I mean, they made the cuts down to 75, and one of the guys got picked up by a team in the NFL. Like, the Arizona Cardinals now have players that are desirable to other teams. And the reason why is they do their homework. They have good draft picks. Their undrafted free agent class was the best he'd ever seen, according to Steve Keim. These guys that they bring in off the streets that don't get drafted, they bring them in. Guys like Jackson Shipley and some of these others that try to battle for teams. And, you know, they've got Jefferson who did that undrafted and now is a good player on this football team. So the thing I really like about the change, and this did not happen under Rod Graves and the former staff. It just didn't happen. They never had players anyone wanted. You could cut a player and not worry about anyone picking them up. You could put them on your practice squad, no problem. Now the Arizona Cardinals, someone had to be calculated with the decisions they make on their roster because there are other teams that will try to pillage your players. It could happen. There are some good names that might be left out in the cold after this weekend. And so the thing I like about the Cardinals twofold. One is what I just said. Two, they're kind of going for it. They've taken a couple chances. Now, I don't know, and that leads us to our Twitter question of the day. I don't know that this is going to be a big deal, and I don't know that it's really going to improve the team, but I like the effort. They went and got Jermaine Gresham. Okay, now he hasn't really been a part of much in the preseason because he's still getting back from the injuries, but I think that at tight end, obviously they needed an upgrade there. Rob Housler, thank God that guy's gone. Oof, what a waste. I mean, that was 3 or 4 years of just empty promises. Gresham's probably one of the best tight ends they've had here in Arizona, maybe going back to the Freddie Jones days. They had Todd Heap, but that was Todd Heap at the end of his career. He was the best tight end that ever played for them, but that was at the end of his career. He wasn't the best when he suited up. So they got Gresham. And then they go, even though they've got a few guys on their team that are in the running back slot, Andre Ellington, don't forget they still got Stephon Taylor, which I'm shocked he's still on this team. But I guess on special teams and some of the blocking he can bring has helped him stick around. They draft a guy in, what was it, the third round, David Johnson out of Northern Iowa. They're really high hopes on him. They've got, you know, Kerwin Williams, who in a pinch last year I thought was pretty good. So they've got some talent at the running back position, and they go out and they pick up Chris Johnson, a seasoned vet in the NFL who was, you know, had some great success, and they say, all right, we'll give this guy a one-year deal. Now, we haven't seen anything from Chris Johnson. We will this weekend. He's going to play. They want to get him, I think, between like 6 and 12 touches, and depending on how those touches go, it could be closer to 6 or closer to 12 if they need to see more. But they, you know, this guy hasn't been hit in probably a year. You know, he has not been no contact at all. So the guy's got to get back out there and get the contact, get back into the football tempo and style of the game. Now, the guy has unbelievable talent. I mean, look at the numbers. His first year in Tennessee, which was 2008, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns. The next year is when he went for $2,000. 2,000 yards, 14 touchdowns. The year after that, yeah, he fell off a little bit, but he still had 1,364 yards and 11 touchdowns, then 1,000, then 1,240, and then the last year, 1,000 with Tennessee. So every year he was with Tennessee, he went for $1,000 on the ground. Then last year, he was in New York with the Jets, and his yards per carry were impressive. They were 4.3. This guy, for his career, averages 4.5. Now, part of that reason is because he busts 90-yard runs off all the time. He's got, I think, more 80-plus yard touchdowns than anyone in the history of the game. He's got like 6 80-plus yard touchdowns in his career. That's the kind of game breaker he can be. And that obviously can help your stats look pretty good. I mean, you have, he's had a couple 200-yard games. So here's the thing with Chris Johnson. Last year, 663 yards on 155 carries. He didn't get the ball that much in New York. Now, New York was, I don't want to say a mess, but they were kind of a mess last year. I mean, they won some games, but the quarterback position, they had Chris Ivory there. They tried a few different guys at running back, and Johnson just didn't really get the carries. He waited. There was other teams interested. He decided to go with the Arizona Cardinals, which I found interesting because there's already a couple guys here. But obviously, we'll see a little bit more from Chris Johnson. That leads us to our Twitter question of the day, and the question is simply this. When you look at the season ahead for Chris Johnson, what do you expect as an Arizona Cardinal fan? We gave you three options. 0 to 500 yards, 501 to 999, or 1,000 plus. Those are your three options. And I'd love to hear from you. Mark Asher 32 is the Twitter handle. We've got Sports360AZ on Twitter as well. I've retweeted this. We did get a couple responses on the program. One said, Espo says, nothing is what he expects from Chris Johnson. Much like 80s movies remakes, I go in with no expectations and hope to be pleasantly surprised.
And Mark, we've seen this movie, haven't we? I mean, the Cardinals have been known to bring in running backs that I won't say are past their prime, but are in the twilight of their career. First, it was Emmitt Smith. Then it was Edgerrin James.
Although James was okay in he was just okay. He was just okay.
But
Emmitt was past their prime.
Emmitt
absolutely
was a complete disaster.
Right.
So
they could have had Adrian Peterson. Let's just remember that.
Tempered expectations.
You know, the state of Arizona has this problem. Have you noticed that? The Phoenix Suns have this problem.
Good point.
I can name a ton of guys that the Suns got later in their career. Brian Grant.
Danny Manning.
Well, Manning was still good. He got injured.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal. Now, I know Shaq had a good year that year, but it's not like the Suns had Shaq in his prime. They had Shaq at the end. Tom Gugliotta? You know, Googs was in his prime.
But injured, fragile, had like a couple years. I'm talking about guys
that were great at one point. Great. See, I don't know that Tom Gugliotta was ever great. He was okay in Minnesota. He was the third wheel. I'm talking about guys that were great. Like Brian Grant, when he was in Portland, he was great. Then he came to the Phoenix Suns. It was late. It was too late. You know? trying to think of other guys that fit that mold. It seems like the Suns have done it a lot. Not that this guy was ever great, but they even brought in Nicholas Schicchivili, a guy they were supposed to draft, and they brought him in late. He was never great. He was never even good. He was never even okay. That's how bad he was. But those are the kind of guys. Let's see. Broken Romeo says, let me see what he does tomorrow night first. Coyote Mick says, bigger question for me, can Arians limit Ellington's carries? Recall Parcells, quote, carrying Meggett up the plane ladder. And then Coyote Mick says, oh, yeah, when are you coming back to radio? I'm not.
Seems to be the popular question.
This is my radio. This is my comeback. I'm on the practice squad, okay, with no hopes or visions of grandeur of returning to the big stage.
Like LL Cool J, don't call it a comeback.
Do not call it a comeback, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Brad Sesmatt Show. I am Mark Asher, filling in for the big guy today on Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com. What exactly happened to the Arizona Diamondbacks when they had to put their big boy pants on? We'll talk to Pedro Gomez from ESPN about that next here on the Brad Sesmatt Show.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmatt.
Well, kind of. Here's Mark Asher. It must be Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, because every time I fill in for the Brad Sesmatt Show here on Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com, I get to catch up with my good buddy Pedro Gomez from ESPN. So I look forward to these Wednesdays, and he joins us right now on the show. Cuban Pete, what's up?
It is funny how that works out, Ash. I like the Ash Wednesday.
I know. It's probably a little sacrilegious, but, you know, I'm going to go with it, Pedro.
Oh, come on. Let's have fun.
Yeah, we'll have some fun. How you doing?
I'm well. I'm back in Connecticut for a few days, home on Saturday. But I was there for all the storms the other day. Holy cow.
You know what's so funny? Speaking of Connecticut, I have family in Connecticut, and I got an email last night. Is everyone okay with the flooding? Were you affected? I live in the Northwest Valley, not down, you know, in the Tukey area. And I'm like, I didn't get a drop. Like, there wasn't a drop of rain the whole time. I'm like, I went outside because I saw on the news, like, oh, you know, Armageddon's happened. I go outside, and I'm like, wait. Nothing. So I was fine. But yeah, it was a little crazy. People, no power, and it was nasty. It'll happen every once in a while out here.
True. I know people think, oh, it's 118 every day. You know, you tell them, no, it's never 118, but they don't believe it.
Yeah, no, they don't. Hey, speaking of the flood and the monsoon that hit the Arizona Diamondbacks last week when they took on the St. Louis Cardinals, they had to put their big boy pants on, and they didn't fit, did they?
No, and that's the thing that happens with young clubs. I mean, you know, they were in the deep end of the pool. They had played really good ball. They had gotten right to 500, and, you know, it's like, okay, everything is moving in the right direction, and then all of a sudden you run into really what is a buzzsaw. I mean, a quiet buzzsaw, by the way, because St. Louis Cardinals have gotten really little attention all year, and it's because they play the game just so quietly and so beautifully. They never ever lose games. They get beat, but they don't lose, if you know what I mean. And I know you know what I mean, Ash.
Absolutely.
You can get beat on any night, but you can also lose games, and that's what the Cardinals do. They don't lose games. And, yeah, when you're a team like the Diamondbacks, who have made, by the way, incredible strides and have really caught a lot of attention from baseball insiders, people in front offices, opposing managers, things like that. But when you look, I mean, this is still a very young roster. I looked it up. There were only five players that played in the postseason in 2011 that are still on the roster. And even at that, like someone like Paul Goldschmidt had been called up that year. He was not a full-time starter that year. And then you've got Daniel Hudson and David Hernandez who have missed practically the last 2 years because of Tommy John surgery. So that leaves really only Aaron Hill, who's a part-time starter, and Brad Ziegler. So you've got a lot of players who are playing deep August and September meaningful games for the first time in their careers. And there's only one way to get that type of experience, and that's to go through it. So these are a little bit of growing pains that they're going to go through, and they're going to have some hiccups because they've never been in the deep end of the pool, most of these guys, for the most part in September. But it's still a credit to what they've been able to do all season and to be this close to 500 when they lost the most games in baseball last year with 98.
Yeah, no, it's been a nice turnaround. And again, anyone that thought it was going to be a complete – this isn't the NFL. You don't usually go from worst to first in Major League Baseball. It does happen in the NFL, but in baseball it takes some time to get this get thing righted. And I think, hey, Chip Hale, the staff – they're doing a nice job. They've got some pieces they got to put together, and this will be a very pivotal offseason, I believe, if they want to take that next step. When you look at the NL, I mean, it's pretty much set, right? I mean, unless someone goes on some tear here in the month of September, we kind of know who our playoff teams are going to be.
Yeah, and the thing we also know, basically, is what those matchups are going to be. I mean, it looks like the wild card game is going to be Cubs at Pirates.
Right.
And then whoever wins that game gets the Cardinals in the first round because they no longer care that you're in the same division. Right. Now it's just whoever has the best record plays that wild card winner. So that's a first round matchup, which will be great. And then it looks like right now Dodgers-Mets. And so really the NL, not only are the teams set, but the matchups look like they're almost set.
Yeah, I mean, unless San Fran, who's lost four in a row, you know, could figure it out, but they can't. I mean, you know, Granke shut him down last night. I think the Giants, and it's an odd year, so they can't win.
And they've got to go beat Clayton Kershaw tonight.
Yeah, which, good luck.
Boy, talk about that. It can happen, but it's not easy.
That's why the Dodgers are still dangerous. I mean, you go Granke Kershaw back to back in any series, I don't care who you are, Cardinals, Mets, that's a tough task if they can set it up. And that's the other thing, too. All these teams in the NL, Pedro, they're going to be able to, besides the Cubs and the Pirates, really, are going to be able to set up their roster, their pitching rotation. Like perfectly, which is going to make, great baseball.
And if you just look at the calendar and look what the Dodgers have going, you know, just every 5 to 6 days, Greinke will be game one, Kershaw will be game two. That's the way it's set up right now for the Dodgers because Greinke went last night, Kershaw today. You know, 5 days from now, it'll be Greinke and then Kershaw, and Greinke and Kershaw. So they're set up for that game one. And what's going to be interesting is that should the Mets be able to align theirs, it's going to be probably Jake DeGrom in game one against Greinke. And boy, that's going to be a matchup potentially for the ages. Again, Greinke has the experience factor.
Right.
DeGrom has never pitched in a playoff game, and you don't know how a young pitcher is going to react. But DeGrom has shown no he's pitched in big games already this year and has not folded once. So that could be a big, big series. And the way they're lined up, it looks like it'll be, you know, we're way ahead of ourselves. We can talk about this again later in September, but it looks like it'll be DeGrom, Harvey, Syndergaard. So that's a pretty good 1-2-3.
You know, the Mets are fun. I follow this comedian. I don't know if you know Jim Brewer. He was Goat Boy on Saturday Night Live.
Former SNL guy.
Yeah, so he's a huge Mets fan. And on his Facebook, after every game, he posts these like minute-and-a-half selfie videos where he's holding, I think he's even got a selfie stick, and he goes nuts and he does accents and he talks about the Grom and Syndergaard. It's hilarious. It's made the run that they've been on the last month or so really kind of fun to watch, because every night I go to see his recap of the game and it's hilarious. But that Mets team is kind of, they're fun, and I think they're doing a little quicker than people thought.
Well, they you know, they revamped that lineup on the fly during the season. When you can add a bat like Cespedes on July 31st to the lineup, and then I know that it wasn't a trade, but adding David Wright 2 weeks ago,
right,
or 10 days ago, whatever it was, that's almost like a midseason acquisition of a big bat. So you've got the middle of the lineup there, and then when Duda comes back, that's a pretty impressive 3-4-5 that they can line up right there in the middle of the lineup. So, you know, you add a experienced bat like Juan Uribe during the season, Kelly Johnson, you've now got depth, which is something the Mets did not have the first 3 months of the season. They made it happen through just their starting pitching, but they added depth on the fly, and that's what makes them even more dangerous if they do end up winning that NL East.
Hey, is Grumpy? Is Grumpy
former D-back buddy?
Yeah, I was going to say, is Grumpy Matt Williams going to be looking for a job this offseason?
You know, if they somehow do not make the postseason,
what do you mean somehow? They're not making the postseason.
I know. They're way back, but you don't know. I mean, the Mets still have to keep winning. And they're like the Diamondbacks in the sense that they're playing September meaningful games for the first time together. So you don't know how a club is going to react. But yeah, you're right. Matt has definitely underachieved even with the injuries they've had. That is not a roster that is lacking depth. It certainly has the rotation. And for them to be, I think it's 6.5 behind the Mets right now.
Yeah.
That's just not going to keep your job.
No, I agree. Hey, leave me with this. You know, when you look, who do you think the wild cards will be in the American League? That's an easier way to ask the question. Who do you think the two wild card teams will be?
I think the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees.
Really? So you think Texas catches?
I think Texas wins that division, yeah.
That'll be interesting, because that's a young team that has not had to deal with September baseball at all.
Well, and it's also when you look at the Rangers' rotation, if they can go Cole Hamels, Colby Lewis, Derek Holland in games 1, 2, 3, that's not a horrible rotation to go up against. I mean, that's a decent rotation. And then you look at the Royals, who have the best record in the American League. But, boy, there's a drop-off. I mean, you got Johnny Cueto in game one, and then you've got an inexperienced Yordano Ventura. You know, there's just not an Edison Volquez. There's not a lot of depth to their rotation. They're a very good team. They play very, very good baseball. They can be beaten, though.
Absolutely. I can't. I love what Toronto, you know, they made some bold moves at the break. And,
oh, man.
And they're working out. I mean, you know, so I'm excited. I'm excited for the stretch run. I mean, Yankees, Blue Jays, it's only a game and a half difference. You know, you obviously want to win that division so you don't have to play that one game play-in, because anything can happen in that one game. Pedro, as always, appreciate the visit. I hope you're doing well. I hope the family's doing well. And I'll talk to you next Ash Wednesday, whenever that is.
Ash, always great to catch up, buddy.
See you, buddy. That's Pedro Gomez, ESPN, here on the Brad Sesmat Show, live on Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com. We still got a lot to talk about before the program continues on. We've got Jody Jackson. I call her JJ. She is from Fox Sports Arizona, and Cardinals ABC 15 sideline reporter has been doing that as well. She'll be with the Cardinals this week as they take on the is that game Thursday? That game's tomorrow, right? Yeah, tomorrow. Every game's Thursday, right? Every NFL game is on Thursday, I believe. Yeah, They just want to get this preseason over with. All right, let's jam all games onto one day and just make it happen. We'll talk to JJ about the Arizona Cardinals, what she's seen in camp and being with this team, and what she's looking forward to from Chris Johnson. Again, the Twitter question of the day, not that we call it that, but we're throwing it out there. Mark Asher 32 on Twitter, or of course Sports360AZ on Twitter as well. What do you expect from Chris Johnson for the Arizona Cardinals? 0 to 500 yards, 501 to 999, or a grand plus? We'd love to have your tweets, and we'll read those when we get back here on the Brad Sesmet Show. Some pretty good 80s music, E. You're going deep into your stash of tunes on iTunes. Hi, I'm Mark Asher, filling in for the big guy Brad Sesmat today on Sports360AZ.com and, of course, AZCentralSports.com. The Arizona Cardinals are going to finally wrap up the preseason. They'll do that tomorrow night in Denver, the Mile High. And a lot of guys are going to be watching, just like our next guest, because no one wants to get hurt. Jody Jackson, JJ, I call her, from Fox Sports Arizona. And, of course, right now with the ABC 15 doing the sideline report for the preseason, she joins us here on the Brad Sesmat Show. Hi, JJ.
Hey, Ash, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Yesterday was a little bit long with a Diamondbacks doubleheader, but it was good. I mean, they won those games and ready to go for one more here tonight, and then we'll switch to football. And
yeah, it's funny when you talk about the D-backs, we'll start there. You know, we're spoiled out here a little bit. We don't get many doubleheaders because obviously there's never a rainout at Chase Field. And, you know, doubleheaders are pretty common amongst baseball with some of the other franchises. But if you got a roof, you're pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're definitely spoiled with the roof. I mean, not just because of, let's face it, it's really hot in a lot of places in the summer, too. I mean, it could be really cold in April. But, yeah, you know, the doubleheaders are kind of fun, kind of a novelty, as long as you don't have too many of them.
Do you, yeah, exactly. Do you get the feeling the Diamondbacks, I mean, they're now 10 games out. A week ago, the conversation was totally different, or, you know, about 10 days ago.
Yeah.
Do you get the feeling that there's been a little deflation in the locker room, or are they still focused, finish strong, and, you know, have a good, solid year?
Yeah, no, I don't think they're deflated. I kind of said, yeah, you know, bummer, because the Cardinals came in, the St. Louis Cardinals, and they're just ridiculously good this season, and they swept, you know, four games, and then you know, the D-backs were in the games against the A's, but they lost two of three to the A's. So just the homestand kind of changed all that, because you go from, you know, winning four in a row, and then all of a sudden you've lost six of seven. So, but no, they're not deflated. They feel pretty good, and a lot of them are, you know, it's a lot of young players who also are pushing through maybe their first full season in the majors, pitchers like that. So it's been good. I mean, I think that Chip Hale, Tony La Russa, those guys are pleased with what they're seeing from the team.
We're visiting with Jody Jackson, Cardinals sideline reporter for the preseason. Of course, Fox Sports Arizona Diamondbacks host here on the Brad Sesmat Show. I'm Mark Asher. We threw a Twitter question out today. What do Cardinal fans expect? And I'll ask you the same question, Jody. From Chris Johnson this year, you know, a guy that's gone for 2,000 yards. Every year he was in Tennessee, went for at least 1,000. And, of course, last year, even though he had a great yards per carry average at 4.3, finished with, like, 663 yards rushing for the Jets. So we threw out the question, and we gave three options. 0 to 500 yards, 501 to 999, or 1,000-plus. What's your educated guess?
Wow. I think 1,000-plus is just pretty lofty, considering you've got Ellington there as well, and you've got, you know, I mean, really those are your two primary options. David Johnson will carry the ball there, too. So, wow, it's interesting. Look, here's my take on Chris Johnson. The Jets last year, kind of a mess, so I think it was, what, 663, or you said about 650 yards is what he has. I think he can definitely equal or better that. I think physically he's still, you know, pretty, you know, running backs do drop off quickly, but I don't think that he's, you know, going to, you know, I don't think it's going to be that much of a drop for him physically. You know, he's what we've seen. Now, we just haven't seen enough. You know, that's the only thing, is you just haven't seen a lot. So that's why this fourth preseason game, although those are usually, you know, not very telling for anyone that's going to be a starter or like a major impact player, but you're going to see Chris Johnson play. You're going to see Sean Weatherspoon play. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see how they use Chris Johnson, because they also know with Ellington and Johnson and the other Johnson and Johnson, right, David and Chris, they all can catch passes as well. So I think there's just a lot of weaponry there that Bruce Arians knows he can use both in the run game and the pass game. And, you know, it's just going to depend. And now with Chris Johnson, he's got to show that he's just healthy.
Right.
And the hamstring's good. But I think if he could go 500 to 1,000, that would be great.
Oh, I agree. That's what I'd hope for.
You're looking at a guy that they signed for 1 year and not very, it's not a lot of money. I mean, anything you can get there is going to be beneficial for the team.
Absolutely. So. Unfortunately, my guess is 0 to 500, but closer to 500 than 0.
400 right? or something, that's okay.
Yeah, well, I think he could go for 4. I think Ellington go for 8, and I think Johnson could go for 4 or 5. So, I mean, that's the mix I kind of see. If you put that all together, if that was one back, you're at, 1,500 yards for the year. They're just going to do it with a few different guys. That's kind of the way I look at it. We are visiting with Jody Jackson, Cardinals sideline reporter. She'll be on the sidelines tomorrow for ABC 15. Final preseason game. Not a lot of guys are going to get action as far as starters are concerned. Carson Palmer won't. So there's still a few battles that need to be won, and they guess they could be decided in that final game. I think the one is that third-string quarterback, but I don't want to talk about that. What I do want to talk about is the offensive line a little bit. It's a little makeshift right now, Jody, and I don't like that. Like, the thing I liked about the Cardinals over the last couple of years, I felt like they had a little bit of continuity on that offensive line. There's so many questions right now going in the season, and with Carson Palmer not exactly the fleetest of foot, he's been hit a few times in the preseason, and that concerns me a little bit.
I think it concerns everyone, and it's interesting. In Peter King's article today, I think it was obviously not his Monday morning quarterback, since it is Wednesday, I believe. Not sure where I am.
It is Wednesday. It's Ash Wednesday, because I always fill in on Wednesdays for Brad. So.
There you go. So he dropped in the fact that Arians mentioned we're going to make a change. He said a lot of the things were fixable on the line, and while Arians hasn't really mentioned, to the local media that Earl Watford is probably going to be the right tackle, it certainly sounded like that in the article today.
Right.
It sounded like Earl Watford is probably going to, now he's going to play a lot tomorrow night. So does that fix everything? No. I mean, and Bradley Sowell has been, solid for Bruce Arians over the years, a guy that he can trust in certain situations. You're hopefully not going to get beat very much, but there's a lot of, Ash, there's a lot of mental side of playing that position, and you got to be able to trust guys, and you got to be able to know that, if you're a veteran, that helps. But Upati being out, that's a huge blow. I mean, that 2-day period at Cards Camp where Corey Peters went down and then Upati, I think we all knew there was a lot of depth on the D-line, but Upati was a huge acquisition for them, and to lose him is tough. So it shifts everybody a little bit. DJ Humphries isn't, he's been such a big topic, but everybody knew he, as a rookie, you probably didn't want to play him anyway. So whether he's miles away and really it took him like all of camp to figure out what NFL football is all about,
right,
it's disappointing, but you didn't really want him to play anyway coming out of the chute. So the biggest thing is those guys are going to have to hold up until, with the Massey situation, and then Upati hopefully is back by week 3 or 4 instead of 5 or 6.
Maybe earlier, too. We'll see on that one. I think they're being hush-hush on Upati. But let me ask you this, and we'll leave with this. We did this in the office the other day, and we said, all right, here are all the playoff teams last year. Name the 3 that won't make the playoffs this year, and here's all the last-place finishers from last year. Name 1 that will make the playoffs, because that seems to happen in the NFL like all the time. So my 3 playoff teams from last year that won't make it this year are Detroit, Cincinnati, and Arizona. My team that will make it, and this is a total long shot, but I put...
Oh, Ash, you're breaking the hearts of fans all over the valley.
I didn't say they won't be good. I think they're going to win 9 games, but I don't think that's going to be enough. I don't think that's going to be enough.
Playoffs is what matters, though, right?
What's that?
Ugh. playoffs is what most people care, you know, is what you care about.
Well, so. They missed it 2 years ago with 10 wins, and I think they're going to win 9 games this year, and they're going to miss it, unfortunately. I just think
The
NFC is pretty tough right now. I mean, there's a lot of pretty good teams in the NFC.
Right.
Trust me, I'm not trying to be doomsday here. I do think the Cardinals had a very difficult schedule, and that's what has me not – I don't think they win 11 again, you know, and so they win 9. That's still a good season. I just don't know that they get you in.
Well, you might be right. I mean, you're right. And the other thing about the NFL is the landscape does change every year, and teams surprise and other teams, you know, fail that you think are going to be good. And, you know, it comes for me, it does come down to protecting Carson Palmer. I mean, I think isn't that obvious for everyone in the Valley? That's number one.
Right.
And then just see what they can do. But you're right. I mean, I think we all feel like they're going to be good. They're going to be entertaining on offense with all the weapons and, you know, adding J.J. Nelson and, you know, adding David Johnson in the draft. So there's a lot to look forward to. I'm not big on prognostication because there's just so many crazy things that can happen. But, you know, I think we're all excited to see it unfold because now we're how many days away? We're 11 days away from the opener. So,
right. See, I like
tomorrow
making...
night, it'll be fun and get it, you know, see what, you know, these guys like Earl Watford and some guys that will be counted on. So,
see, Joe, I like making predictions because I don't have to be held accountable because I don't have a real I'm not in the business anymore. You guys have to go in the locker room every day. I don't, so I can make predictions.
Yeah, I don't think I mean guys know probably that's okay. I mean, I could come out and say, hey, they're going to be 9-7 or 11-5. I don't think anyone would really bat an eye. Or
Fitz will say something
way, but...
Fitz always used to say something to me. Oh, you only got us winning 8 this year? What's wrong with you? I'm like, well, I don't know. You might only win 7. That's what I tell him. JJ, great stuff. Enjoy Denver. Hopefully it's nice and cool there because it's not here. And we
cooler
will...
than there.
What's that?
Than Arizona. It's cooler than Arizona, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, there's most places are. Great stuff. I'll be watching tomorrow night, and we'll catch up down the road, okay?
All right, Ash, thanks.
Yep. Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona, and, of course, Cardinals sideline reporter. For the preseason, final preseason game tomorrow night, ABC 15, the Cardinals against the Denver Broncos. You notice the Cardinals play the Broncos every preseason, and the game never seems to matter because it's always the fourth preseason game. Give me the third preseason game against Denver. Although I think they had that maybe a couple years ago. They did have one meaningful game where Manning actually played.
And they play the Chargers every single year in preseason.
It's the Chargers.
Too.
It's the Broncos. A lot of times it's the Raiders.
Yeah, stay on the West Coast.
Yeah, let's keep it tight. Who was the other team they played this year?
They played the Chiefs this year.
They did play the Chiefs.
Home
right.
game.
Home game. So, you know, I get it. They don't want to necessarily send them to New England.
Oh, they're,
they're
playing the AFC West.
Right, basically. Oh, yeah, aren't
they literally did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of them.
All right, we continue. We got more to talk about. College football starts tomorrow night. My boy E is pumped, and his team's got a big test on the road. Plus some other big games in college football. Can you tell the excitement is in the air? Football is back. Whether it's college or pro, it's all about to happen. We'll talk about that next. This is the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. The Brad Sesmatt Show here on Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com. I am Mark Asher filling in for the big guy. Brad Sesmatt not here today. I believe he returns tomorrow to the show, so that'll be good. And of course, tomorrow I'm sure will be a lot more full of college football. Speaking of college football, I have to read this story. I saw this morning. E, did you see this? You got to be careful what you put on social media, right? Got to be careful.
Always.
Everyone's watching. That includes at the University of Nebraska. So a Facebook post from like months ago when Bo Pelini got fired has cost the Nebraska football stadium announcer, the PA guy, a job. Hopefully this isn't his only job, but, you know, a little side gig. Go, you know, now introducing the starting lineup for your...
I did hear he lost it, but I did not know how, so continue.
He lost it. So, John Schutz, said today... Yeah, that is, no, actually yesterday. The university official told him he was let go because of a Facebook post that was critical of the firing of football coach Bo Pelini. Schutz said he had deleted the post and declined to comment on what it said. He says, look, they were correct to do it. I own it. It should be a lesson to everybody. Be very careful what you say on social media. So they got some other guy now who's going to come from like the sidelines to now do the PA for the stadium. This is the third guy in a month to hold the job. The school on August 6th fired its longtime public address announcer,
that's the story
Patrick
I heard.
Combs.
Okay, that's the story I heard.
He was arrested on suspicion of basically stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from two elderly women.
Yeah, nice effort.
Great job. The guy that just got let go before he even started, it was because of a Facebook post. So there you go.
And more good news from Nebraska. I just saw Lawrence Phillips is trending. You know why he's trending.
Wow, that's funny you say
that. The ex-NFL running back is charged with murdering his cellmate in his Bakersfield, California jail.
Yeah.
He's already in there for like 30 or 40 years, and now he's pretty much never going to leave.
You can punch your ticket.
He's not going to get the death sentence, but he'll be sitting in a jail cell. So,
you know,
good job.
Some of us don't know our address in the next 30 years. Lawrence does. That's sad. That is a sad, sad story.
Man, talk about a guy that had so much talent. So good.
But a screw loose, if you're able to, you know, run over kids in your car or chase them and
He drug his girlfriend down a stairwell by her hair. That's
right. That's enough.
Piece of trash.
Yeah. So he's in for a long, long time. By the way, you're an old wrestling fan, righty?
I am.
Did you hear some weird news about Jimmy Superfly Snuka?
I did.
What is going on?
Like an old murder case
from like 30 years ago.
He allegedly killed his girlfriend in like 1982 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, but he's now been found guilty 30 some odd years later?
I guess so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, those
man.
Old wrestlers, Hulk Hogan's in trouble.
They're all in trouble.
Jimmy Snuka. They're all, Macho I mean, Man's dead. I mean,
yeah,
they're just
Macho
all,
Man's dead. Roddy Piper's
Roddy
dead.
Roddy Piper died. Yeah.
Actually, they said that someone made like kind of a joke, not joking, but like made an observation. It took all this time and all the villains to die, and now Hulk Hogan's the villain. Now, I know Hogan turned at one point in his career there, but for the most part, Hogan was a fan favorite, and everyone loved him because he was a good guy, right? But Savage and Roddy Piper, the Ultimate Warrior, you know, all these these are the guys that you and I grew up with.
This is
know.
An amazing segment because you're taking college football, which I love, and the WWE / WWF, which I love,
how
and
I
like...
Do that?
It's
How'd
like
I do
a,
that?
I don't know, it's just a combination of greatness.
Yeah. I have the old wrestlers, and I promise I'll get a little college football. I have the old wrestler figurines.
Mm-hmm.
They were the big ones. You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I'm talking about? Like,
oh, yeah, with the ring.
With the ring. I don't have the ring anymore, but I have those. I passed them down to my cousins.
That's awesome.
And got them passed back to me. Mm-hmm. Now, they screwed them up a little bit because it got into the age of Sting. Remember where he had all the face paint?
Yep.
So they, like, painted on, like, I had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. They tried to make him look like Sting because he had black hair. And I'm like, you guys screwed these up. But anyway, I still have them all. Captain Lou Albano.
Are you going to pass them on to your
My sons
two
play
boys?
With them.
That's
My
awesome.
Little guy plays with them all the time.
So cool.
Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff,
uh-huh.
Miss Elizabeth, George the Animal
She's
Steel,
dead, yep.
Mm-hmm. Gene Okerlund, all of them. Captain Lou. Yeah, most of them are dead.
Andre
Jesse the
Giant,
Body.
Dead.
Who? Andre the Giant, I did not have. King Kong Bundy.
Yeah,
the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. I have all of them. They're great.
The golden
I wish
era.
They were in, like, primo condition, because they'd probably be worth something.
Probably.
They're not, unfortunately. They've got paint and nicks and scratches. And I think Miss Elizabeth almost has lost her complete top, which is kind of cool. But college football, TCU at Minnesota. E, I'm telling you right now, I saw the spread. I'm not big on spreads, you know, but 15-point spread, I will – say that the game will be closer than 15 points.
I agree.
Thursday night.
I agree. And I'm going to be the only one watching TCU Minnesota because Harbaugh is playing tomorrow night against Utah, and that's going to be like the all eyes on the Harbaugh.
Yeah, why? Because he's going to have khaki pants and a blue shirt on.
Yeah, and they're probably going to get beat by Utah.
I think Utah beats them.
I do too.
In that game. I think TCU wins, but they win by, you know, 7 to 10, somewhere in there.
I think that's about right.
Yeah. And
what about Saturday?
Saturday?
A&M ASU. I want to buy in to ASU. I do, but we've seen with ASU when they play in the big stadiums,
they lose.
Notre Dame in Texas, not good.
No.
Played a bowl game against Texas Tech.
I just don't know about A&M. I don't
ago.
Know how good they are. You know what was weird? I watched the college football preview this week, and Desmond Howard was on one end of the studio set, and Kirk Herbstreit was on the other, and they named their final fours, right? Kirk Herbstreit had ASU, Oklahoma, LSU, and Ohio State.
Right.
Desmond Howard had, like, Stanford. He had a really weird mix. But he had A&M. So here's one guy with A&M in the Final Four, and here's one guy with ASU in the Final Four, and they play each other on Saturday. I'll say ASU wins a close one. I think ASU
Big
has a chance
game.
To be really
Man,
good this
I
year.
I do, too. I do, too.
It's all about Berkovici, though, and DJ Foster. Those two, to me, That's good. It's going to make or break them.
They've got athletes, though.
They've got athletes.
ASU is loaded with athletes.
U of A plays tomorrow night. They play University of Texas San Antonio, who they almost lost to when they played last year on the road.
Different team, though. UTSA graduated pretty much their entire...
Right. This should be a shellacking.
Tuned up. Like yeah, it will be. It will be.
And then the other big game is Wisconsin-Alabama. That's a big game in college. Texas has a big game, too. I forget who they play against. Who's Texas play? Georgia?
They're playing Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, Notre Dame. That's right. Notre Dame, Texas.
Notre Dame should take care of Texas.
I think Notre Dame has a chance to be pretty good this year as well. So college football is here. Of course, very excited about that. And we'll talk, or I should say Brad, we'll talk about that more tomorrow here on the Brad Sesmat Show. I want to thank Jody Jackson and Pedro Gomez for joining us. I'm Mark Asher for Eric Sorensen and everyone here on the Brad Sesmat Show. We'll talk to you next time on Sports360AZ.com.